What's good, everyone? Welcome in to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast, your source for all things Alabama basketball. And I'm your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. And you can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24 or on Tide Illustrated. Go get a subscription to there. We're jam-packed with a bunch of Alabama basketball recruiting news now since we're in the offseason, as well as spring football if you're a big Alabama football fan. But Alabama's basketball season ended last week against UConn in the Final Four, the first ever Final Four in Alabama's program history. And, you know, if you listen to my episode, if you haven't, go listen to it. It's a great kind of wrap-up to the season and a preview of next season, and kind of give roster predictions on what I think would happen. And so far, Alabama's had three transfers that entered the transfer portal that were on the roster last year. Two of those I predicted, one of those I did not. We will get into those transfers here in a second, and as well as the two incoming transfers that Alabama has now landed. One being very, very recent, as I record this, it's midnight, Saturday night, Sunday morning. So let's just kind of hop right into it, to where Alabama had three transfers entered the portal this past week. One being Chris Parker, who is a redshirt freshman out of Florida. And he is a guy that, you know, coming out of Quincy, Florida, it was kind of an odd fit to me. It was a very odd commitment. Not that I think he couldn't play in this system. I absolutely do think Chris Parker would be really good under Nate Oates' system. But the timing of the commitment, to where he kind of held off on signing. He was an April signee. It was an odd timing, to where I didn't think that any of the Florida schools wanted him. I think UCF showed some interest. Florida State and Florida showed zero interest. He's from a smaller school. His dad was a head coach in high school, and he had a lot of issues in terms of his motor, his attitude at times, and I think that might have turned some teams off. But I think Nate Oates really saw something in him, to where, you know, the ceiling was really high for him. He's a 6'8", 6'9", guard/forward. He played the two or the three, not near big enough to play the four, but he's a guy that could really stretch the floor. He can handle the ball a little bit, and with his measurables, he had a really high ceiling. Now, unfortunately, when he entered the portal, or when he got on the campus, he got hurt. So he got hurt during, I think, early fall, late summer, during that time. And never really got going. And he couldn't really shake that injury. And I don't think he got healthy enough to where he could practice until late December, early January. So I think him and his parents and the coaches kind of decided that it was best for him to redshirt, so he wouldn't waste that first year. And he wasn't going to be expected to come in and play extended minutes to begin with anyways. But especially after the injury, it's best to save that year, use a redshirt, and just sit out the rest of the year. And that, I think that's what they decided to do, and it was the right decision for him. And when it came down to it, I'm sure he was looking at the numbers and the position players that they had on the roster, and with Houston Millett, who we'll kind of cover here in a second coming in, he kind of saw the writing on the wall, to where he probably wouldn't have the playing time he thought he might deserve. And I don't blame him. If it's a playing time issue, if it's a money issue, you know, in this day and age, you have to take advantage of it. And I'll never have hard feelings for anybody that leaves for something that might be better for them or their family. So Chris Parker entered the portal early last week. He was the first player to enter the portal for Alabama. And, you know, he might end up going back to Florida, playing at maybe UCF or somewhere, and be really good under Coach Dawkins or somewhere out there. But Chris Parker was the first player to enter the transfer portal. The second player that entered the portal was Rylan Griffin. And this is a guy that was a very big surprise. He entered late last night, I believe. Actually, I don't remember who entered first, Rylan or Davin. Cosby, who we'll cover here in a moment. But I'll cover Rylan Griffin first because he was the big surprise. Because I actually thought that Rylan Griffin was going to end up staying around. And during the year, I thought that he might end up transferring just because he came close to doing so last year. I know there was a lot of Midwest schools that were after him, such as Kansas, Baylor, Texas Tech, Creighton, and he ended up staying because I'm sure he didn't get the NIL offer that he was looking for, considering he was a freshman last year. He didn't have the playing time or the exposure to really show his skill sets in order to get the payday that he was looking for. But this past year, he was a key component to Alabama's first ever Final Four run. He averaged 11 points, shot nearly 40% from three, 45% overall, 81% from the line. He was a really solid on-ball defender on the perimeter. He always guarded the other team's best player. So you knew he's a very versatile 3-and-D guy. I actually thought that he had the most pro potential on this team this past year. And I still think that, to be honest. Mark Sears might end up getting drafted, but I honestly think Rylan Griffin is a really good 3-and-D prospect to where I think he could carve out a role somewhere in the NBA if he got better consistency overall. That's kind of where he faltered. He was really good in the NCAA tournament, I thought. He scored double digits in three games. He was really good from three in three of those games. But overall, I think he probably just succumbed to what a lot of players in college basketball succumb to now. And that's, I want to test my market. I want to see what I could get from somebody else. You know, maybe Alabama was not willing to up his NIL deal, whatever it is now. And he thought he might be worth more than that. And, you know, I am all for college basketball players getting paid. I'm all for them getting paid for their worth. I don't like them using the transfer portal as bargaining chips, per se, to try to get more money. And I don't think Nate Oates puts up with that either. I think if he wants people that want to be there for Alabama and be there for him and the team, and if you're not with that, then go enter the portal. There's always another Rylan Griffin out there. Case in point, it's going to be somebody we're going to be going over here in a moment. But I don't think Nate Oates really puts up with that too much. I'm sure guys that want to leave that he thinks might be a problem in terms of replacing maybe like a Javon Quinterly last year, since it was so late, he might try to talk them into staying. But you know, if it's this early, there's plenty of guys out in the portal and guys that still have not hit the portal that they can go after to replace that spot. So Rylan Griffin enters the transfer portal this past week. It was kind of a surprise to me because he had some high remarks for Nate Oates during the NCAA tournament, calling him, quote-unquote, the GOAT, and thinking that he will bring Alabama a national championship one day. Came really close this past year, but I thought with him saying those comments and the tournament, the performance in the tournament that he had, that I kind of was starting to lean that Rylan Griffin was going to end up staying. But ultimately ended up that he was going to enter the transfer portal. He's officially in the portal now, and I would be surprised if he's not attending some school out in the Midwest, similar to the ones I mentioned, like Kansas, Baylor, maybe Texas Tech, or Creighton. So that makes two transfers for Alabama. And the third and final one that Alabama's had so far is Davin Cosby Jr. This was kind of somebody that me in particular, knew that would end up transferring this year. And I imagine most people did as well, just because he didn't get the playing time that he probably wanted. He's a guy that he has good size. He's 6'5", 205 for a guard. But he doesn't offer much outside of shooting. He did shoot 34% from three. Felt like he was better than that most of the year, but he kind of hit a cold spell at times. But he's a really good shooter, probably one of the better shooters on the team, in my opinion. And he just didn't get a chance to really showcase that ability too much. And a lot of that has to do with his lack of athleticism, lack of speed, He's not a very good defender. He's just not somebody that Nate Oates is going to be able to rely on game in and game out over a 30-plus game season. So Davin Cosby could be someone that might go to a smaller school and have a larger role. Or I think he could go to a school to where it's been mentioned online that Louisville is a team to watch for him. And that would be an awesome spot for him. Louisville is, you know, a great basketball program. It's kind of down right now. Kenny Payne has really kind of brought that program down. But, you know, the hiring of Pat Kelsey, you know, he might fit his system a lot better coming from College of Charleston. And we saw what kind of system he had there of just shooting a bunch of threes. So Davin Cosby might fit in really well. They probably tampered with him. I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, it happens everywhere. It wouldn't surprise me if that happened as well. But I think he would fit in really well under Coach Kelsey's system that he has. So Davin Cosby Jr., Rylan Griffin, Chris Parker, all enter the portal. Now, that kind of them leaving and the three freshmen that are coming in, Aiden Sherrill, Darion Reed, and Nas Cunningham, pretty much cancel each other out. Now, if you take Aaron Estrada, that's for sure leaving, and you replace him with Houston Millett, who we've kind of covered a little bit here and there on the podcast, but I'll kind of do a deep dive into him here in a moment. But you replace Aaron Estrada, scholarship number-wise, with Houston Millett, you're right there at 13. So you got a full team. But considering that Kai Spears was put on scholarship this past year, that's not going to be honored this upcoming year, presumably. So Alabama's actually at 12 scholarships. And we'll kind of just hop right into the newest commit that Alabama just got on Saturday during A-Day, Chris Youngblood, who is the co-AAC Conference Player of the Year this past year. He is a really, really good, well-seasoned veteran senior guard from South Florida. He is originally from Tuscaloosa. I believe he and his family moved to Georgia while he was still in elementary school. But he was born and raised in Tuscaloosa. And he is an extremely talented player. He's a 6'4", 220-pound 2/3, however you want to describe. He's a guard, but he can play the 2 or the 3. He's a really, really tough defender. He's not the fleetest of foot. He's not going to be someone that's going to wow you with his defense, but he's a junkyard dog when it comes to defending. He's not going to back down to anybody. He's going to be somebody that's going to get up in your grill, and you know, if you beat him, you do. But he's not going to let you just drive by him easily. So he's a guy that's going to be a big-time leader for this team. I've talked to several South Florida riders and guys that are close to the program, and they just rave about this guy. They rave about his leadership, how outspoken he is, and he does whatever it takes to win. That's all he focuses on is winning. Whether he gets his stats or not, all he cares to do is win. And he followed Coach Abdur Rahim from Kennesaw State to South Florida. So he's averaged 12, he's averaged 14, 14.7, 15 in his 4 years in college. So he's gotten better every year, and he's averaged 40% or higher from three the past 3 years. So he not only is an excellent elite three-point shooter, he's a great free throw shooter. And he's a guy that, you know, he can handle the ball a little bit, but he's going to be more relied upon on being a spot-up shooter. Now you have guys like him, Latrell Reitzel, Houston Millett's going to be another spot-up shooter. You've got three guys that are all elite 40-41+% three-point shooters. And Houston Millett is a top 10 spot-up shooter in the country in effective field goal percentage from three. I mean, Alabama's offense is not going to miss a beat, folks. It's not going to miss a beat next year. Sure, you're probably going to lose Mark Sears. Sure, you're going to lose Rylan Griffin and Grant Nelson. But Nate Oates has made quick work with this transfer portal. Quick work. You lose Rylan Griffin, bang, 2 days later, found his replacement in Chris Youngblood. He's not as tall or as lanky, but he's a better shooter than Rylan Griffin is. He can dribble better than Rylan Griffin. Might not be as good of a perimeter defender, but he's going to fill that role, and he might even fill it better than what Rylan Griffin did. So Nate Oates is showing that he can get whoever he wants. Rylan Griffin, you want to leave? Great. We will replace you with the AAC Conference Player of the Year this past year for the regular season champion, South Florida Bulls. I mean, that's how the business works now. I mean, it has become a business in college basketball. And Nate Oates is an excellent manager. An excellent manager. So you've got three transfers leaving. You had Chris Youngblood commit today, or technically yesterday. And then you also have Houston Millett coming over from Pepperdine. 6'5", 185-pound guard. Going to be a senior next year. He's only going to have 1 year of eligibility left. But he averaged 15 points a game last year for Pepperdine, shooting 42% from three. And he's a guy that it was him and Ajayi, I can't remember his first name, that just committed to Gonzaga. Those two guys pretty much kept Pepperdine afloat, and they were not a good team. But if it wasn't for Millett and Ajayi, that team would have been awful. Houston Millett is a really, really good scorer. He's even better as a spot-up shooter. I thought his usage rate was really high for Pepperdine, just because there wasn't really anybody else that could make plays or make shots to keep them alive, you know, to keep them in games. But he has a really, really quick, nice-looking shot. And if you just put him on the wing or put him in the corner and just spread the defense out and just give it to him on those spot-ups. Like I mentioned before, he's the number 10 spot-up shooter in terms of effective three-point efficiency in the country. Alabama's going to have an offense where it's going to spread them out, and they're going to draw the help defense, and all you have to do is be ready because the ball's going to find you. Now, you got guys like Houston Millett, Latrell Reitzel, and Chris Youngblood that fit that mold of being those spot-up shooters. So Alabama's just got more dangerous as the offseason goes. Now, we still have yet to hear about Mark Sears and Grant Nelson's, you know, decisions, but I expect them to declare for the NBA draft. But you replace Rylan Griffin and then Aaron Estrada with guys like Millett and Youngblood, who are better shooters than both of those guys, the sky's still the limit offensively next year. I think this team may be deeper next year than it was this past year, because I felt like a lot of it relied so much on the big three of Estrada, Nelson, and Sears, mostly Sears. I don't think there's going to be that guy next year that's going to be able to carry that load. It's going to be, you know, a scoring by committee. You know, you saw this past year, if it wasn't for Latrell Reitzel being just under 10 points a game, you're going to have five starters potentially all average double figures. Now, one of them was over 20 points, like Mark Sears was. But I think next year you could see three to four guys all average 12 to 15 points a game or more. And then you still have solid bench guys that we'll kind of touch on here in a second. But getting Houston Millett, you know, I've talked to his dad when he was about to commit to Alabama. I talked to him about Houston. There's an interview out there that they did with a news station out in California. And his dad, Wesley, is a athletic director for UC Riverside and really good athletic director at that. But Houston is such a good kid. He just wants to win. He's a team player. He's been a leader ever since he stepped on the floor at at Pepperdine. He's averaged over 30 minutes since his freshman year. That's how much he's played. And kind of the connection with Houston to Alabama is that Preston Murphy, when he was at Creighton the year that the COVID was about to hit, he was actually recruiting Houston to go to Creighton out of high school. Then COVID hit, and then, you know, all the FBI stuff happened with Preston, and I thought Coach Murphy, you know, did not get – he got the short end of the straw there, and I thought they did a disservice to him after everything came out of what happened. But Preston built that relationship with Houston and Wesley, and they remembered that. And once Alabama reached out, Preston reached out to him, Coach Murphy, and once that happened, that chemistry kicked right back up, and next thing you know, Houston and Wesley are both coming to Alabama about 2 days after he entered the portal, and then he committed while he was on campus. So it was a very quick recruitment. So there's obviously trust and chemistry there, which Coach Murphy and Houston Millett. So I expect Houston to really be a solid contributor next year. Whether he starts or not, I think he would probably be a sixth man off the bench and still get 25, 30 minutes of run, just like Latrell Reitzel did this past year. But he's going to be a key contributor as well. Now, with the transfers that have left, the transfers coming in, and the freshmen that are coming in, Alabama's roster is now full. It's at 13. Now, we're still expecting Mark Sears and Grant Nelson to both declare for the NBA draft. So that would take it away two scholarships. Now, personally, I don't think either one of them will come back. It would actually be kind of a surprise to me. So with that being said, Alabama will have two spots to fill. You're going to need a center, and you're going to need a lead guard, because none of these guys that they've gotten through the portal or coming in through the freshman class are lead guards. Alabama has zero lead guards on their team right now. So you need a point guard, and you need a big man. Why do they need a big man? Because I personally think Nick Pringle will end up transferring. I don't know if Muhammad Wagee will. Centers are already hard to come by, so if you kick two of them off, or if you urge two of them to leave, however you want to word it, it's going to be really hard to find replacements. And I think Muhammad Wagee can serve as that third big if that's what he's looking to do and be fine. You know, he, as a third big man that might play, you know, 4 to 8 minutes a game, go in there and just hack people, Muhammad Wagee's perfect for that. Probably a cheaper option as well. But one guy to really keep an eye on is Clifford Amore. Now, you might have seen online or on message boards that, you know, he's rumored to visit. Clifford Amore is a 6'11 senior, going to be a grad student from Rutgers. Right? And I think he actually has a COVID year that he's going to be using. But he's a 6'11 senior from Rutgers. Last year, he averaged 10 points, 8 rebounds, and nearly 3 blocks a game. You might remember him from having the poster on Zach Edey. I believe it was this past year. I mean, he's a freak of nature athletically. But he is that rim protector that Alabama desperately needs. And he's a guy that you could just throw in there at the number 5 spot and someone that you have no worries about. He's actually really good about not fouling. He has great awareness, great instincts when protecting the rim. He's a guy that you can just put in the dunker spot, throw alley-oops to, just like you would Nick Pringle, but with a lot better rim protection. He's a big-bodied guy, 6'11", 240, probably closer to 250, in my opinion, the way he looks. But he's a guy that you could potentially see visit. I don't know when. It could be as early as this upcoming week. I think he's going to start taking visits this upcoming week, and Alabama, I think, will be one of those visits. And, you know, see what happens. Alabama's NIL has reportedly gone way up since the Final Four. You're going to see a lot more support from the boosters overall and the NIL collective, Yay Alabama. And you're going to see Alabama start throwing a lot of money around at some of these guys like Clifford to, you know, really up the talent level for this program. If you're going to win, you're going to have to get these high level transfers, such as Cam Spencer that UConn got this past year. I mean, those guys are huge difference makers when you get them through the portal. Not saying that Clifford will commit, but I think Alabama has a really good chance here, especially if he actually gets on campus. You know, being up from the Northeast, you know, he's from Nigeria originally, but being in the Northeast for so long, it could be hard to pull him away. You know, St. John's was always rumored to be the favorite when he entered the portal, but the longer this is going on, I believe St. John's has kind of fallen out of it. I don't know how much he is looking for money-wise or if Alabama will pay it, but I could see him wanting to be a part of something like at Alabama in an offense like that, to where it's just up and down, being the primary rim protector. I could see him playing over 30 minutes a game, which is more than what he was playing at Rutgers, as long as he stays out of foul trouble. But that's one guy to keep an eye on overall. And really, it's still kind of early in the transfer portal. The dead period just ended this past weekend, and you're going to see Alabama start reaching out to more guys, probably more guys visiting, them visiting other transfer portal players. But it's kind of quiet right now. There's really no lead guards out there that Alabama, I think, would be interested in. Aiden Holloway, the Auburn transfer, which would be ironically hilarious if they went after and got, is reportedly interested in Alabama. Not sure on Alabama's interest on Aiden overall. I think they are interested in him. Just how much, I'm not sure. But they really need to get a lead guard in the center. And those markets are very thin right now. So you might see them play the waiting game if they can't get someone like Amori and see who might else enter. You know, Jonas Adu from Tennessee entered, and I believe Alabama will be interested in him and pursue him. But he's going through the NBA draft too. So not only does Alabama have two guys that will be going through that same process, there's also going to be big-time potential transfers that are going to go through it as well. And they don't have to declare for the NBA draft until sometime in early May. And then that process doesn't end till June. So it's going to be really tough for Alabama. They've made quick work of getting Chris Youngblood and Houston Millett on campus and getting them committed. So it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be kind of a waiting game a little bit coming up with some of these guys that are going through the portal. Because, you know, if you wait and they stay or they come out, kind of like what Graham Nelson did last year, you could reap the rewards from it, because some teams or some programs might not be patient enough to do that. So you kind of have to pick your battles. If you feel confident on landing someone like an Adu, it's very worth it. But if you strike out, it's going to be too late, because that's kind of what Charles Bediako left Alabama with last year. Deciding to stay in last second, and it's June and you have no big guy. And Alabama played a whole season without a true center. So that's something to keep an eye on, is just kind of see who they're reaching out to, who's coming up to visit. If Clifford Amori ends up visiting, that could be potentially huge as well. So more people are going to have to leave for this to happen. And I think guys like Nick Pringle will probably end up leaving. Or entering the portal. And, you know, I imagine you'll see decisions from Mark Sears and Grant Nelson coming up in the next week or two as well. But that's all I got today. I was just going to kind of hop on and go over, break down the transfer news on the guys that are leaving, being Chris Parker, Rylan Griffin, and Davin Cosby Jr., and cover Chris Youngblood and Houston Millett, the two incoming transfers that are coming into the program. So Alabama is still going to be rolling next year regardless. Nate Oates and Preston Murphy and the staff are going to make sure that they get the best players possible in the transfer portal. No doubt about it. I appreciate you listening to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24. and I appreciate you listening. Please like and subscribe to any on any podcast platform that you listen on. Until next time, adios.